The John Daly Show, sports.
And hi, folks. We will look ahead to a dramatic set of games in the penultimate week of the NFL season. But will the drama be gone before we even get to week 17? Not what the networks in the league want, as the playoffs come into focus maybe a little too early. Odell Beckham fooled us and the league. We will rant about that and the culture that may fuel him and other athletes and fans. Also, we'll look at how bad officiating could have led to a bigger black eye on the league during the Giants-Panthers game. Speaking of the Panthers, do you rest Cam and the Panthers if they're 15-0? And it looks like, as we have said all along, fantasy and gambling are now nearly a done deal with the NFL. Plus, we have a new feature. It is called Fantasy or Real QB. We look at quarterbacks and decide if they are just great fantasy buys and not real winners on the field. As always, our expert is Eric Schneider. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, good morning. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. Good morning, John. May everyone have a safe week and a great New Year's. But we'll talk about that next week, New Year's.
That's true, especially if you're in the secondary of the Panthers, too. We should also note that we are broadcasting on Wednesday of this week, so a lot of news could be breaking. If it does, we're going to be watching for it as we go along the way here. A strange week last week leading to some interesting stories. We'll get to the games, but first, the Odell Beckham story has gotten really weird. We are waiting on the appeal of his one-game suspension that he did get from the NFL. This just in, Panthers cornerback Josh Norman has been fined $26,000 by the league for his actions against Beckham. Now, after last week, you and I both said this guy had turned the corner in maturity. Wow, were we wrong? He is now suspended for one game at least for targeting Josh Norman, who had shut him down early. Now, the hits seemed way too vicious and could have been career-ending, possibly. Is that one-game suspension enough? I say no. What do you say?
I say yes. I said the only way, and I've talked to many NFL players that tell me that the only way you get to these guys is hit them in the pocketbook. $26,000 is nothing for Josh Norman, and he was involved in a lot of this, and this was going on for weeks. These guys do too much trash talking. They Twitter each other. They talk. I mean, Josh Norman got into Dez Bryant's head, and they had some stuff on the field, and it's becoming a culture of me against you, and that's what concerns me. But to answer your question, I think you fine Odell Beckham Jr. $250,000, and that'll shut his butt up real quick and make him think about what he did. Should he have been ejected? Yes, from the game, and we'll get into that because it was just something. I watched a game. I was shocked. I've been covering and following this sport for over 40 years. Never seen anything like it because I've always thought of football as a team game, and the chemistry in that sport, John, is more. It's probably more valuable. I'm saying there's chemistry in hockey, baseball, and basketball, the four major sports, being football, but nothing like that has to happen with the cohesion in football. So it really bothered me because here's a guy that I said last week on your show, and I have proof that he's a guy that the NFL was going to build themselves around as a marketing tool. He's so articulate, educated, and endorsements lined up like crazy, and now I'm hearing that people are pulling away from this guy because it just doesn't make sense to go around a 23-year-old that could be a hot wire like this kid.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I agree about he should have been ejected from the game as well. Now, if he was ejected, it could have changed actually a great game. The Panthers come back to kick a game winner to stay undefeated as time expired after blowing a 28-point lead to the Giants. We'll get into the game and that stuff later. But then it got really weird. Beckham says he felt threatened before the game because the Panthers had baseball bats on the field. Now, at first, I thought he was batty. Then I saw the video of Norman carrying a bat in warmups. The Panthers now say they will not allow that. Sorry, but this is getting way out of hand. It's touching on what you just said before. I know this might sound a little racist here, but can we keep the gang and the hoodlum stuff out of football, please? That's the thing. These guys are making millions. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I'll pontificate a little bit. The problem is you're not being a racist. You have guys that are saying we're representing. It's street cred. I can't stand when they say that. What is street cred? If you're referring to gangs and that kind of stuff, you want that out of the league. The whole thing about the sports, when I grew up, when you grew up, and hopefully kids nowadays, is teaching sportsmanship. And this is what really aggravated the guys that were covering the game, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and the officials around the league and people I talked to in the league, that the sportsmanship in this whole thing was thrown out of whack. The other thing I can't stand, and Josh Norman said it, is we're soldiers out there. How dare you compare yourself to these guys that are out there that are defending our country? You're not even close, because most of you guys, I remember one guy that walked away from a $4 million contract. His name is Pat Tillman, okay? And it ended up bad for the guy, but he'll always be a hero in my book. None of these guys that I've seen since him have gone out there and actually been a soldier, okay? And I guarantee you, if we got into it, I can promise you this, the guys I've talked to in the league, if it ever came to a point, God forbid, that we had to get into a conflict with someone and the government said, look, we need guys to sign up or we're going to have to institute a draft, I guarantee 95% NFL guys will walk away and say, nah, you know, we're just not our thing. Quit comparing yourselves to soldiers. Quit comparing yourself to street cred. You're football players. You're entertainers. That's why we watch you. You are just as much of an entertainer as the guys that sing at the nightclubs, big nightclubs and shows in Las Vegas, actors and athletes and what are the same thing. That's what you get paid to do. But as an athlete, more than anything, I think, and this is my opinion, you have the responsibility not really to be a role model. I get what Charles Barkley said, you're not really a role model. But you have the responsibility to teach sportsmanship and carry yourself as what you are, a professional. You're a professional football player. And when you start stuff like this and you let it get to the point where it's street cred and stuff like that, the NFL will not put up with this. Guess what, Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman? This league was around 80, 90, 100 years ago, and wishfully will be around 100 years from now. And no one's bigger than the game. And that's what some of these guys don't get. I've talked to some of the guys. They think they are the game. The Dominican Sue thinks he's a big part of this game. You know what? Guys get injured. Guys leave. I'm a junkie Raider fan. You're a junkie Giant fan. And we've watched players come and go in the last 40 years, John. And we cheer for them. But once they're gone and new guys come in, we cheer for them. And that's how the sport goes.
Let me push back a little bit when you were saying about him saying that they're soldiers. At the same time, too, the league has kind of been set up in a bit of a military stand. So maybe I might cut him a little slack in there. I agree with you about, you know, you guys aren't going out and fighting war. You're doing kind of a symbolism of what our war society is. But can you cut him a little bit of slack maybe? What do you think on that?
No. The hell with that. I'm getting pissed off. Symbolism what? These guys, first of all, if you're in the military, you don't make any money and you're giving the ultimate sacrifice. You're putting yourself on the line so we can live the lives that we live in this. I'm not going to sit there and be some kind of a politician, but I sound like one. That you're sacrificing possibly your life so we can live the lives that we can. That we could do a radio show, we can go to McDonald's when we want, we could watch football. And these guys are getting paid millions of dollars. The lowest paid athlete in the NFL makes $362,000, okay? I guarantee that's one brigade of 10 guys that make about $30,000 each. The military guys don't get paid. These guys are not any part soldiers. You are athletes that are playing professional sport, and it's a privilege to play this sport. Not many people want to. I've always wanted to play football. I'm just too short and good-looking, so, you know, I had other things going on. Look. You're the same way. You couldn't play pro football because there was no makeup or wardrobe involved. You know, you had to get dirty. But not the right line. I have a big problem. I remember Kellen Winslow Jr. got just castigated for this years ago when he said, I'm a soldier out there. And a guy in the military said on CNN, he said, you know what? You're not a soldier. Okay? You're a football player. So I don't give him a break for anything. The NFL can say what they want. It's still a game. And these guys get paid whether they win or lose. And you know what? I don't see these guys putting their life on the line or sitting in 110-degree weather in Iraq during the summer with three bottles of water a day and say, live on that.
Okay. I'm going to touch a little bit on that, too, because I think it ties into our culture. But do you blame the officiating? I just heard Dean Blandino, the head of officiating for the league, and he admitted he thought the officials could have nipped this in the bud early. What are your thoughts on that? And what are your thoughts on Tom Coughlin? As far as blame goes,
I blame both of them. I blame the officiating. If you watch a game, you heard the announcer say, this is crazy. It's taken away from the game. The league does not want this. And, you know, the league, I always say this every show, every year, the league is so protective of that grid and that shield. And the NFL is the ultimate in team sport. But when you see something like that, the officials have to. There should have been a call from Dean Blandino. He's in that office in New York, and he's watching every game. He's got monitors on every single game. He's watching it. He can call down to the head official and say, get rid of this. Stop it now. Eject somebody. Didn't happen. Tom Coughlin, I get him a little bit. He goes, we're trying to win the game. Odell Beckham Jr. is a supreme talent, and he could make a play at any time, and he did catch a touchdown to tie the game up at 35-all, John, in that game, even though he's having a bad game. It was, and just we remember him for what he did other than catching the football. I think Coughlin takes less blame, but the officials who are having just a horrible season have another black mark on him.
All right. Well, let me pontificate a little bit myself here, because I blame the culture in our country, and it's not the black culture. It's the entire American income inequality economy. Now, this is a league that is more concerned about dollars than the health and the well-being of the players. We have seen them partner with companies that are clearly involved in overseas gambling, while at the same time, too, they say they oppose gambling. Check out that New York Times article from this week on Sport Radar. The same company does work with the NFL, fantasy sports, and big betting sites. We're going to hit on this later in the show. Watch the movie Concussion when it comes out. Of course, you and I are going to review it here. But the NFL is an organization that binds and blinds. They are right up there with the list of institutions that have failed society. College sports, protecting people like Jerry Sandusky, but not small kids, or college players who can barely get fed while helping to make billions for institutions that do a horrible job of getting undergraduates jobs. Major League Baseball with its PED scandals, and not to mention bigger institutions. How about Congress, made up of bribe-taking lawmakers who make or stop laws based on who or what special interest contributes to their election or re-election? How about the Catholic Church that works so hard to cover up priests raping little kids? It has seeped over into every aspect of our lives, including sports. And the reality TV nature of everything, all you got to do is look at the clowns that we're choosing from as president, to people like Beckham who get rewarded or think they're getting rewarded to be outrightly cruel to people. Now, I know I love the game of football, and fans do too, and I know you do too, but we got to speak up to preserve the game and make it better. God bless Troy Aikman during that game. You said this before, saying that Beckham should have been ejected and saying that this is hurting the game. Enough from me. Give me your take on that.
Oh, fantastic. I agree with everything you said. I'll even go one further. It's all about capitalism and money. It's all about the way we have brought up in this democratic society. My turn on this, and there's an old line. You are a big time figurehead in political. You know a lot about the inner workings of how politics go. And there's just a great line I've always heard, and it's quote: "I'm a politician. If I'm not kissing your baby, I'm still in their lollipop." And that's the same thing, that's the same analogy I take from everything you just said, is the fact that the NFL, they're all looking to make money. Everything is about making money in the way we were brought up as Americans. And competition is the NFL. Competition in the restaurant business. Competition in the tire business and the movie industry. And who's making what? What's the box office? That's the way we work. That's the way capitalism and democracy works. And the NFL is no different than that. The NFL has become so big. Let's go back. You give me a chance here. 1985, the National Basketball Association and the NBA, it's 30 years ago, were equal in TV ratings in the United States. Now, the NBA had Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and a young, phenomenal Michael Jordan, okay? And then since in the last 30 years, the NFL dwarfs everything. Even soccer, believe it or not, if you put the Super Bowl, in America, I'm saying, the Super Bowl is the number one watched show of anything. We all know that in America. So what you're saying, and I agree with everything you just said, it's all about money, and I don't think you're right. I don't think the NFL cares about. Here's what the NFL, the guys in the NFL offices on Park Avenue in New York are saying right now. All the guys that are marketing executives and lawyers saying, this is so great. Everyone's talking about Odell Beckham Jr. and this and that. They're hoping, please, don't let us, they're hoping that he wins his appeal of his suspension. He won't, because that game against the Vikings on Sunday night, that would be so great. But people are going to watch that game, believe it or not, to listen to Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth commentate about what they think about that incident. And it gets all the sports programs, it gets us, we're in the media, it gets every sports program you see on every other outlet, from ESPN to Comcast throughout the United States, talking about it. And it brings more attention to the National Football League. And we're not even talking about the games. I'm done.
We haven't even touched on the games yet. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we should also say, I mean, there's some great players in the game, like a Larry Fitzgerald, who I would say are in the majority but don't get recognized. And the sad thing is, you know, it's the bad apples, you know, that too many kids follow or, as you've pointed out, want their jerseys. It goes back to the money, the jerseys, people buying that. Talk about that just real briefly, because you gave me a good education on that.
Well, it's concerning to me, and this is not a racist thing. This is just reality. My son, Max, worked at a local merchandising and apparel store, a place in Las Vegas that sold jerseys of sports teams and you know, little anything you want concerning sports. And when Michael Vick got arrested years ago, they could not keep they actually sold 6 months worth of jerseys to keep themselves open for 2 years. They could not keep Michael Vick jerseys on the shelves, and just the best that people were wanting Michael Vick jerseys. Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, what is the social aspect of what's going on with that? And I'm thinking that young kids and young people and young adults seem to want to side with the rebel. Now, Michael Vick went to jail for 2 years for admitting to killing dogs and running dog fighting rings. He drowned and killed 13 dogs. Yet kids wanted his jersey. Okay? And it really concerned me at the time, and it concerns me now, that when a guy gets in trouble, or I'll give you another example. Did you know that Johnny Manziel is one of the top three selling jerseys in the National Football League?
Yep.
Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's not even he's not a bad guy. But Tim Tebow played with the Philadelphia Eagles for 6 weeks and 3 days in the preseason. Never played an NFL game with them, played in the preseason. He's the number one selling Philadelphia Eagles jersey since Reggie White 25, 30 years ago. So what are we saying here? Is it religion? Is it the rebel? Is it the bad guys we're looking for? We're not looking for the good guys. Tim Tebow's jersey sold because of his religious aspect. I'm going to have a Tim Tebow jersey because, you know, I'm a huge fundamentalist Catholic. Because you can't tell me that his jersey is number one because of anything else. Okay? It's not the way he plays. You want me to be brief on this, but I have to pontificate. What has Johnny Manziel done in the National Football League that he's in the top three jersey sellers with Tom Brady and Tim Tebow? Tell me. I don't know. You're watching the same thing. Our listeners are watching the same games I am. He's just starting to start right now for Cleveland, but he's the only guy in that draft of 2014 with Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, and Derek Carr that's had to wait to the end of his second year. All these guys started right off the bat, and they're progressing and doing well. So we're in an interesting pop culture phenomenon right now that's gone back, that you could be a Larry Fitzgerald or a great guy. Great guy is Tim Duncan in the NBA, what he's done with building high schools and what have you, and I'll finish this up. And their jerseys aren't selling. But go out and kill someone or kill a dog, and you're going to buy your jersey. Very, very, very disappointing.
And you touched on it earlier. Publicity of any kind brings in money, and that's the bottom line, and that's what they're doing. So, all right, enough pontificating. We covered that one pretty good. Let's start with the big games in the AFC. First, Bengals or Broncos? I got the Broncos in this one bouncing back. I think this is going to be a great game, though.
Marquee game of the weekend. Interesting stat, John. In the last 3 weeks, the Denver Broncos against the San Diego Chargers, Oakland Raiders, and last week against Pittsburgh had not scored a touchdown in the second half. Concerning that, whatever, those three coaches, Mike McCoy, Jack Del Rio, and Mike Tomlin, have all made adjustments to stop this team. I like the Broncos in this one also, but I'm so famous on saying I wouldn't be shocked if the Bengals won. This game is for a seed. You know that. This game, whoever wins this game is possibly going to get that second seed to the Patriots and have a bye week, which is huge.
Well, and you pointed this out to me earlier. There's a scenario where the Broncos could lose those two remaining games, miss the playoffs completely, or they could be the number one seed if they win out and the Pats lose.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's wild.
Well, obviously they're going to have to lose out and to lose, and they have the Chargers in Denver the last week of the season. I doubt it's going to happen, but that's what makes this drama so great. And I doubt it'll happen. But they're going to need a lot of things to happen for that to happen. But they can. That could happen. But we'll talk about it later. A lot could happen this weekend. I'll give you two main games, and we'll talk about it. You'll lead me into that. That could really hurt the NFL.
All right, cool. Pats at the Jets, another intriguing game. I got the Jets at home. They are up against the wall here. I think they are a team worthy of the playoffs. They didn't play well last week, I thought, even though they won. I see them bouncing back. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I like the Jets in this game also. I think they are a good every football team. People are saying, how can you call Carolina that great? The people I'm talking to on my radio show on the Power Hour, we talked about it. I said, well, it doesn't matter how you won the game as long as you win. And that shows the way the Jets played the Cowboys, who, by the way, are a gutsy team and have a good defense, and Carolina, the Giants came back. Doesn't matter how you win as long as you win. You can't win every game by three touchdowns. I like the Jets in this game because if the Jets lose this game and Kansas City and Pittsburgh went out, they're done. I mean, and you look at the schedules of Pittsburgh and Kansas City, and they're very favorable. So,
absolutely. All right, cool. Steelers at Ravens. This could be a trap game for the Steelers if they are not careful. But I got the Steelers winning this one in a close one.
And you know what? John Harbaugh, I love this guy as a coach. I think this guy, they never quit the Ravens. I mean, look, you never want to blame injuries, but this is the year of the injury. I'll think of 2015 when we recap the season, the year of bad officiating and horrible injuries. And we're seeing them. You know, I'm going to bring this in. Now Drew Brees tore his right plantar fascia. He tore the plantar fascia, and that could hurt them for next year. I mean, this is every week we're seeing critical guys go out. Last week, Marcus Mariota, and then now this. You know that Brian Mallett might start for the Ravens this weekend?
Yeah.
And we're taping on Wednesday. We're doing the show now, but Harbaugh's announced that on Friday. That could be interesting. I got the Steelers winning a close one no matter what, but be interesting to see how Ryan Mallett does. I think the kid has talent, but he's a head case.
Yep, I'd agree. Browns at the Chiefs. This could be a trap game also for the Chiefs. Since Johnny Manziel, and we just talked about him, you know, he hasn't been horrible. Granted, he hasn't been good. So I still think there's a chance that there could be a little magic here, and it kind of goes against everything we've been saying about him. Still, I think the Chiefs are going to win, and I do think they win handily.
Me too. I just think that the Chiefs, this team won 8 in a row so far, and they've won ugly some of their games. But they're finding a way to win, and this is a great story. I mean, not many teams start 1-5 and make the playoffs. But I have a scenario. Maybe we'll get into it next week. But
we'll get into it a little bit later.
Okay. Chiefs,
cool.
Chiefs in this one, John.
Okay, cool. Texans are at the Titans. I'm going with Brandon Whedon leading the Texans into the playoffs all the way to the Super Bowl. I'm kind of lying about the last part, but I got the Texans in this game.
Love it. I love the fact that this is their fourth starting quarterback, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, T.J. Yates, and a great, great coaching job by Bill O'Brien. Here's a guy that some people had in the hot seat. I never did. They lost Arian Foster early, never really had a great starting quarterback, and I like the Texans in this one also.
All right, we're talking with our expert, Eric Schneider, author of the book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He's also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. Let's go to the NFC. Packers at Cards looks to be the best game, but the Cards got horrible news. Their shutdown DB, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, he's out for the season with a knee. I still have the Cards in this game, though. What do you got?
So do I. But talk about a bad luck team. Last year, they're heading to the playoffs. They're 10-2, and Carson Palmer goes down. And they limped in the playoffs and lost in their first round because they didn't have a capable backup. Something you and I will discuss later on when we do our wrap-up. It's just that it's ridiculous how teams don't have capable backups. This is horrible for that team because that cornerback tandem of Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu, I thought was the best in the league. And now you're taking half of that away. And again, I like the Cards in this game, but I wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Rodgers comes back and wins that game.
Sure. The Matthews injury, you just touched on it. Does it make the Cards less tough, giving the Panthers and the Seahawks a better shot at the NFC title?
I give the Seahawks a better shot because, you know, our fantasy or real quarterback that's coming, our segment coming up, I might throw Carson Palmer in there. He's a guy who's won a lot of games and a lot of stats, but hasn't won a lot of playoff games. So even if Honey Badger was there, and just the Seahawks have been there. The Seahawks have a history in the last 3 years of winning big games and going to the Super Bowl. And right now, is there a better quarterback in the league than Russell Wilson? No.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. We'll touch on that. Panthers at Falcons. I got the Panthers winning big here. Even though the Falcons, God, they actually have a remote chance of making the playoffs, which they don't deserve. So I have, and I hope, Panthers winning big in this one.
Me too. They want to, you know, even though they have everything locked up, and they don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's an outside shot that the Cards, if the Panthers lose their last two games and the Cards win, the Cards are that number one seed. So, yeah, the Panthers are third. And there's, you know, when we can talk about the baseball bats and stuff, there's no team in the NFL that's having more fun than they are right now. And that's there's some positives there also with them giving them to score a touchdown, they give the ball to a young kid in the stands. I love that. Panthers big.
Okay. So the question is, does Ron Rivera rest Cam and Keekly and the others in the final week versus Tampa Bay? Carolina fans, they want that undefeated season. That's based on a number of polls that I've seen in the region here. What do you think he's going to do, or what do you think he should do?
Well, what I'm hearing is the players want it also. You know, you don't get a chance at going undefeated, and we have that with the Carolina Panthers. And if it comes down to it, they're going to play. They're going to play. Then again, Ron Rivera is a no-win situation. Don't you agree, John? If they win
Absolutely.
That game and one of their key guys gets injured, and we talked about Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, God forbid Cam Newton. They just lost Jonathan Stewart, who went to the Pro Bowl. He's going to the Pro Bowl, by the way. And he's injured. You lose a Luke Kuechly or you lose a Cam Newton going to the playoffs, your fans will never forgive you. But then if you don't play these guys and you lose a game, we had a chance at an undefeated season. It never happened. And I know the Patriots did that in 2007. But we have a chance of doing this and going all the way. We could really shut up Mercury Morris and all those idiot Dolphins to sit there and pop a champagne cork when the last team loses forever. So I think Ron Rivera is in a testy situation. I bet you these guys play in Week 17.
Well, we can recite a number of different instances. We've seen where, you know, you play them, they get hurt in the final game, miss the playoffs. But then we've seen teams that take the final week off. Then they get rusty and blow the first game of the playoffs. So you're right. I mean, Ron Rivera is in a no-win situation.
All the time.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. And, you know, you can see it. At some point, you almost think they've got to lose, even as good as they are, because they're going to be going up against a Seattle Seahawks team at some point, or possibly the Cardinals. So, okay, let's go. Rams at Seahawks. Seahawks, to me, and you just said, to me, they look like a juggernaut again. This is going to be a good test. I like the way the Rams beat the Jags, though, on last Thursday night. Still, I got the Seahawks. I think they look really primed to make a run.
Scary. This is the one team that everyone, the Cardinals and the Panthers, they're scared of this team. Trust me, they're not going to admit that, but this is the team that's starting to get their swagger on, and I just mentioned that they have a great history of playing in the playoffs the last 3 or 4 years and going to the Super Bowl twice. So the playoffs aren't going to be something new to them, and we're happy to be there. I think they make a run too.
Yeah, I agree. Saturday, Redskins at Eagles. I still have the Eagles, and so do the networks in the league. We're going to discuss that in a second because you've been teasing that. But first, who are you picking between Eagles and Skins? I've got the Eagles.
Yeah, I have the Redskins only because I want to see what we're going to talk about. When you bring this up about how we can, I want to see the league scramble. So I'm going to go with the Redskins, right. And as Kurt Cousins would say, he just patented this line. You like that? Yeah. So I like the Redskins.
One other thing in the game, because I'm beginning to see this in all the Philly newspapers. Chip Kelly has DeSean Jackson coming back. Another disgruntled former Eagle discarded by Chip Kelly. Philly newspapers are talking about this as Kelly's biggest mistake. Is this a factor in that game, or is it just
no.
the playoffs?
Did they talk about it last year when he came back and the Eagles shut him down and beat the crap out of him? No. They're talking about it now because obviously this game is more meaningful. I thought it was meaningful last year also. But it's where that happens. I'm looking at games, and the Raiders had a wide receiver named James Jones they loved. He had a big game against the Raiders this last week when Green Bay beat them. You know, it happens all the time. The Raiders had a guy named Tyvon Branch they loved, and he went free agency, went to the Chiefs. He comes back. He has a fumble recovery and a pick six against the Raiders. So that's what they're going to touch on. Howard Eskin, who covers the Philadelphia Eagles locally there, I talked to, and he just said, yeah, I mean, you know, they're looking at – it's funny. The Philadelphia is one of the strangest sports towns. When you win, they love you. And when you win, when you lose one game, they hate you. They hate Chip Kelly there. even though they're still involved in the playoff run. So looking at any way to get this guy out of there, the fans, or bag on the guy. But no, I mean, look, there's guys on throughout the league on every single team that played somewhere else. So does it mean more to them? Yeah, but this is not the factor in the game.
Yeah, greatest line about Philly fans was that they actually booed Santa Claus. So let's talk about the because we talked about the strange odyssey for the Broncos, but how about this setup for the league and the networks? And you've been touching on this. If the Skins win the NFC playoffs, those playoffs are set before we even get to the final week.
Is that great?
It's unbelievable.
It's never happened before, and I think it happened once in the 70s, and don't quote me on that. I did my research, and I don't want to be wrong on the year.
I remember one
time. But it very rarely happens.
I remember one time where I think all the teams were set. It was just a matter of what the seeding was going to be, and it was based on a couple of games. So I think you're close, but I think this could be unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be all set. The seeds won't be there. We'll have to find out if Carolina wins, if the Cards could catch them. But I'm pretty sure if the Washington Redskins beat the Philadelphia Eagles, we got Carolina 1, we got Arizona 2, we got Green Bay 3, Washington 4, Seattle 5, and then the Minnesota Vikings 6, which means the Vikings go to Green Bay in the first week of the playoffs, the wild card round in the NFC. Saturday night, when that game's over, we could talk about Green Bay Packers hosting Minnesota. Wow. Great. I mean, that'd be a good game. A divisional game in the playoffs is always fun. And then the Seattle Seahawks going to the Washington Redskins. Let me move forward on that. I just want to talk about Seattle and Washington for 15 seconds. If Seattle beats the Redskins, which I think they will, they go to Carolina. Unless Minnesota does the upset, because Carolina plays the lowest seed. But I think Green Bay beats Minnesota in Green Bay in the first round. That happens. If it plays out that way, the Carolina Panthers get Seattle in their first playoff game. And you could have a 16 and a 9. And guess what? As of today, I'm picking Seattle to win that game. So that's why we love this game. So that's the scenario. Eric Snyder has painted out on December 23rd. I think it happened. And you're right, John. How could you be a marketing executive for this league or even Fox, CBS, the networks that cover these games in the playoffs? How do you market? You've been involved in TV so long and marketing. How do you market Week 17 in the NFC? What do you say? You know,
it's your last great week of fantasy. That's what they're going to have to talk about.
No, you can't. With all the fantasy playoffs end this weekend. The fantasy championships are this weekend. So there's nothing. You can't talk about fantasy. Your last man standings are done.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no
fantasy. But you'll have the individual. You'll have the daily one. You'll have the daily fantasy, though.
You'll have the daily fantasy, but they won't, because the NFL doesn't recognize that. I mean, how do you – you're going to have a slew of games. You're going to have it's – and I'll tell you what you're going to have. You're going to have – you're coming off the New Year's Eve weekend, what have you. People are going to still want to go back. If you can't market that – now watch, because there are certain things in the AFC that could happen that I think that's the reason why people watch. The AFC is a whole different ballgame. And we could touch on that also, and there's ways. But the NFC could be and you don't you think? I mean, the last thing I'll say about this, I want your opinion. Don't you think deep down the league and the networks are hoping like hell the Philadelphia Eagles win?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, they are. Of course they are. Yeah, and at the same time too, you've just compared the NFL to Louis in Casablanca. There's gambling going on in here. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the NFC. Let's say the Eagles win Sunday's Giants Vikings game. Well, actually, if the Redskins win, the Vikings Giants game would be a moot point. If the Eagles win, it does mean something. The Vikings, they're already in, but I still got the Vikings in this one. What do you think?
Well, if the Eagles, it's just funny. If the Eagles win, then they control their own destiny, and the Giants control their own destiny, because the Giants went out, they put the Eagles in Week 17. That game will be for the division, of course, and you got something to market. So much right on that, but guess what? I think Odell Beckham Jr., and we'll know later. Excuse me?
Sorry, exactly what I was going to say. We don't know yet, yeah.
Let's say they uphold the suspension, which I predict is going to happen. I think the Vikings win this game, even if he's in the game. And if they don't have him, forget it. The Vikings win this game.
Okay. Thursday night, the Chargers are at the Raiders. The game means little, you know, but the off-field brings more intrigue. It seems that the odds for the L.A. relocation have actually changed again. You and I talked about this during the week. Chargers seem definite, but the Rams and Raiders may stay put. Explain what you are hearing.
Well, the St. Louis Business Authority has come up with $150 million to give to the Anheuser-Busch people to help get that stadium built in the riverfront. We've talked about that on previous shows. And I think the whole thing with Stan Kroenke being owner of the Rams going to L.A. might have just been a leverage thing, just like we talk about with the fantasy sports and this and that. It was a great business move by him. And I think there's a lot of play for St. Louis to keep football. And the owners want football in St. Louis. It's a great sports city. I've never been there. You have. It's a great sports. They want it there.
It is.
The Raider fans, I mean, you talk about and I go to a lot of games. I've never seen a fan base so loyal to a team that stinks. I'm born and raised in Los Angeles. You would never see 13 non-losing years of sellouts. Never. Never. Mm-hmm. You won't see it. And we talk about it all the time. Look how much the Lakers have fallen off. And they're the greatest team to ever play in Los Angeles. They have two lousy years and their attendance has dropped off by 5,000. So the league understands this. The league wants a team that goes to LA that could draw from other sources. And the Chargers can. Because where they're going to build the stadium in Inglewood or Carson is only about 95 miles away from San Diego. And you know what? The diehard San Diego fans will drive up there. The 5,000 or 10,000 fans, and I think you'll agree with me, will drive up. I mean, what's a two-hour drive? People that are Steeler fans that live 2 hours away in some small town drive to see their Steelers. So, yeah, they'll be called the L.A. Chargers, but it's of all the teams that have moved in the past, when the Raiders moved from Los Angeles back to Oakland and back and forth, that's a little bit of a drive. If you move from Cleveland to Baltimore, it's a little bit of a drive. From Indianapolis from Baltimore to Arizona, that's a huge drive. This is not that bad for the Chargers, so it just makes sense. And you look at the body language, John, of all the Charger fans and the post-game news conferences of Mike McCoy and Philip Rivers, they were in tears just saying, if this is the last, you know, Philip Rivers had an unbelievable press conference. I hope people could YouTube it and said, there's 50 years of players playing in this stadium and a lot were here tonight. And he goes, and the fact that we won the last game here, listen to what he's saying between the lines, means a lot to those guys and these fans. So I think it's a done deal. January 12th or 13th, we're going to see a big headline in the USA Today to say L.A. Chargers.
Okay. But you think the Rams are staying put and the Raiders are staying put?
I think they are. I think if I had a handicapper right now, I think that believe it or not, and I would never say this a month ago or 2 months ago, I think the Rams have a better chance of staying put than the Raiders do. Because they're still, look, I watched the game against the Packers, and I saw Oakland City officials, including Libby Schaap, who's the mayor of Oakland, in Mark Davis's booth. I reckon I know what she looks like. You know, so there's a lot of schmoozing still going on. And I just know Mark Davis wants to stay in Oakland really bad. And he has, look, the fans are telling you, look, of those three markets, John, you follow football just as much as I do. Of those three markets, you never saw the Oakland fan base fall off like it did in St. Louis and San Diego.
Absolutely.
You never saw games with 35,000 people. And I got news for you. The Rams are more competitive than the Raiders are this year. Todd Gurley made the Pro Bowl as a rookie, as a running back. That's huge. So, handicapping, Chargers get named to L.A. January 12th, and maybe down the road, and I hope it doesn't happen, the Raiders will be that second team to go. And then we have all kinds. You know, if that happens, John, if that happens real quick, with this is something for the listeners to play with. If that happened, they're going to move either the Raiders or the Chargers out of the AFC West. If one goes to the NFC West, and they'll take an NFC West team and put them in the AFC West. So you'll lose that Charger-Raider rivalry.
Okay, but then you'd have the 49ers-Raiders rivalry, possibly.
Exactly.
Just one other quick note on the Chargers and Raiders game. If for some reason all the scenarios aren't finalized going into the last week, this game, the Chargers at the Raiders, could be interesting to look at because how will these teams play in the final week? The Raiders could spoil the Chiefs' playoff chances. Chargers play at the Broncos. Do you look at it all that way?
Yeah, I think these teams, first of all, Phillip Rivers doesn't quit. He doesn't, it's not in him. I watch this guy's career. Can't stand him because I'm a diehard Raider fan, but I respect the way this guy plays. Thursday night is Charles Woodson's last game, and it's the last game for him in the Coliseum. If that's not enough motivation for the Raiders, and I want to jinx them, and it's a nationally televised game, Christmas Eve, people be watching. So, yeah, these guys are going to come out. And, again, I'll go back to – I have a time to tell you a story about 1999. I'm covering the Raiders for AOL. They go into Kansas City. The Raiders are 7-8, and they're down 17-0 to the Chiefs. The Chiefs have to win the game to make the playoffs. The Raiders have already been eliminated. They're down 17-0. Rich Gannon brings them back, hits Tim Brown with a critical fourth down pass in the fourth quarter. They kick a field goal by a guy named Joe Nedney with no time left, and you could hear, you could see Gunther Cunningham's lips. You could read it, and he goes right through the effing uprights. S-H-I, you know what. You read his lips saying that. And on the plane ride back, Steve Wisniewski, who's, my opinion, a future Hall of Fame offensive lineman, 8-time Pro Bowler, was about to retire. And Gruden said, walked up to him, John Gruden walked up to him and said, you know what, we're on to something great here. I don't you feel it? And the guy unretired, and for the next 3 years, the Raiders won a division, went to a Super Bowl, and Rich Gannon won the MVP. You know, that could be, this we could see history repeat itself. Because even if, let's say, the Jets lose to the Patriots, let me give you a quick scenario here. And let's say the Chiefs beat the Browns, we predicted, and the Steelers beat the Ravens. Could you imagine the Raiders going into Kansas City and beating them and knocking them out of the playoffs next week? Because, yeah. And then the Steelers and the Jets play the Bills. They'll probably win that game. The Bills have their debacle. And the Browns play the Steelers play the Browns. I think they win that game. So the Raiders could repeat history years later by knocking the Chiefs out of the playoffs. So, yes, they have something to play for. San Diego, too. Why not? You know, if they have a chance to knock Denver out of the playoffs, wouldn't that be a nice exclamation point on a bad season?
No, yeah, and the league would love it too because it would get that last week getting some interest. We talked earlier about the players of today that are bothersome. Yet at the same time, too, you've covered a throwback, and you mentioned Woodson. Talk about your kind of history with him.
Real quick, the first draft I ever covered for AOL was 1998. And I'm there. I brought one of my best friends, Bruce Frank, and we're sitting there. We're covering the draft, and we all knew the Raiders were going to pick him fourth. That was a famous draft with Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning. And when Woodson got drafted number fourth, Bruce and I are sitting in this gallery, this huge throng of Raider fans, and I'm covering, I'm interviewing people, and Woodson walks up to the throng, and he's high-fiving people. I got a chance to talk to this guy, and what I noticed about him in all the years I've been around him and covering him is that he always looked in the eye. You know, you see guys interviewed, they look away. Some guys, I hate it when the guys call girls man. You ever say that? He had a great game. Yep. Well, man, well, you know, that's another story. Woodson, he embedded everything the Raiders believed in, and that's dignity, pride, and poise. And all he said when he came back to the Raiders 3 years ago is, I want to teach these young guys. Not only did he teach these young guys, he just made the Pro Bowl. He didn't make the Pro Bowl because he was voted into the Pro Bowl before he announced his retirement. Okay.
Yeah.
And look at him. Do you think that you see these guys, John, like Kobe Bryant? You see guys in other leagues, David Ortiz, that announce a retirement party. He knew it. I don't want to say anything, but I know that he knew that he was going to retire at the beginning of the year. He knew this was his last year, but he waited to the last home game to do it. So talk about a humble guy, a great man. He owns a vineyard in Northern California. He makes a lot of money with his wine and he wants to open restaurants. He's got so many things he's got on the docket, but he's a throwback, and I'll tell you why. When I was a kid growing up in L.A., they had a good-looking guy. He was an actor. Didn't make much as an actor, but he was a defensive lineman named Jack Youngblood.
Yeah.
Does that name ring a bell to you?
Absolutely. I remember him well with the Rams, sure.
Great guy. Great guy. He's just a superhuman being. He played in a Super Bowl with a broken leg. Okay, a broken leg, and that's well documented. Super Bowl they played against the Steelers, he broke his leg in the playoffs against Dallas, and he said, just tape it up, and I'll play. Never happens nowadays. Charles Woodson, since week two, has been playing with a separated shoulder. You see him put in a sling and what have you. The league is going to miss this guy because he's just one of these guys that should have played in the 70s and 80s, and thank God he got a Super Bowl ring with the Green Bay Packers. But this is a guy that – it's going to be very emotional tomorrow night at the Coliseum, and I wish the Raiders to give him my, who knows the Raiders, but I wish the Raiders could give him a send off of thank you. And I know the fans are going to be going crazy. You know, last thing I'll say, I have 4 Raider jerseys in my possession. Okay. An old girlfriend in 1983 who cheated on me, got me a Kenny Stabler jersey. And since Stabler cheated on everyone he's ever with, it makes sense. All right. I got a Howie Long throwback for my wife for my 40th birthday, and some idiot, Madden John Daly, got me a Jamarcus Russell jersey as a gag gift. The only jersey that I've ever purchased, and I did this back in 1998, was Charles Woodson. Is that irony? Of all the great Raiders I've seen, the only one I've ever purchased, I'm not into that, was Charles Woodson. So I'll be wearing it proud tomorrow night and saying thank you for the 19 years, because you are the anti-Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman. You're a guy that just absolutely brought class and dignity, and you're the guy whose kids should be buying their jerseys.
Well said. Well said. All right, before we go to fantasy, let's bring in one of our new features called Fantasy or Real QB. Now, fantasy means they can win fantasy points and lead your online team to victory, but not lead a real team. Real means they win no matter what the numbers are. So let's start. I'll give you one of your big issues. Derek Carr of the Raiders.
Fantasy. He's still young, but he's fantasy. He's fantasy. 30 touchdowns, 11 picks. He's going to have 4,000 yards. But this is the business. I'll always say this, about production and winning. And I believe he's 9-21 as a starter in the league. And I don't care how good you are. If you can't win or go to the playoffs, then you're just a fantasy guy. He's a fantasy guy.
Okay. Fantasy or real QB, Kirk Cousins.
Today it's fantasy, but we'll see how it goes Saturday night. I picked him to win. Fantasy. He's actually grown up as a quarterback. He had a lot of issues, but now he's having every week it was like it's 3 or 4 touchdowns. But I have to see more of it. Right now he's fantasy.
Okay, fantasy or real QB, Cam Newton.
He's both. He's real. I mean, last week against the Giants, John, he had 100 yards rushing, over 300 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. So you got your fantasy
five
stats,
touchdowns.
But he's a winner. What's that?
Yeah, and no interceptions.
Right. Big-time real quarterback.
Okay.
And he's going to give you fantasy stats, and he's a real deal.
Okay, fantasy or real QB, Carson Palmer.
Fantasy. He's on a precipice of being real, but him and Tony Romo have a lot of great stats, but they have horrible playoff records. So,
yeah.
It's hard for me because I love the guy so much, and I remember being with the Raiders and I met the guy, and he's just a class act. But right now he's fantasy. Let's see what he does in the playoffs. I mean, it's to me it's about wins. Which he has. He's done a great, you know, winning percentage with the Cardinals. But it, over the course of his career, he won also with the Bengals. But he threw a lot of picks, and he also, you know, he hasn't won a lot in the playoffs. So I'm going fantasy, but on the borderline
of
being real.
All right. I didn't want to throw this in there, but now that you say that about Carson, what about Peyton?
Real. It's a 4-time MVP, maybe 5. I might be off on that. He's a real quarterback.
Man.
I know he hasn't won a lot. He did win a Super Bowl, and I just think when it's all said and done, he's a yardage leader in this league. He's won more games and has been to the playoffs more often. I think that, he'll get you fantasy points, but he's a winner.
Yeah, but he doesn't even lead his family in Super Bowl rings.
Isn't that great? That's great. What, hey, John, can I go back to Charles Woodson? I forgot one thing. Just one quick addendum to Charles Woodson. In his career, he's intercepted Warren Moon and Cam Newton. See how long he's come back.
Wow. Wow. Cool. All right. Hey, before we go to fantasy picks, let's discuss the fantasy sports business. I mentioned earlier the article in the New York Times. Now, if you love the business of sports, read that piece in the New York Times. It is fascinating about where this is all going. It was about a company called Sport Radar and how they gather data for games that helps the NFL, fantasy sports, but also big-time gambling outfits. And they got investors like Michael Jordan in there. So there is definitely what I would call an hypocrisy by the NFL here. But there is also the business reality that fantasy, whether it is gambling or not, is here to stay. And you and I have been saying this for months now. What's your take on all this? I mean, because I think you and I have been in agreement on most of this, that this is definitely... this is going to be the reality of what football is, and it's not going to be taken away.
No, not at all. Watch all the NFL shows. Watch NFL HQ on the NFL Network, and you can't watch one show without in the sidebar on the graphics is fantasy. Who should play in fantasy? Fantasy this, fantasy that. The NFL, you know, it's funny. The NFL doesn't want to talk about concussions, but they're there. They never wanted to talk about the lines and gambling, but they know it's there. And you lived in Las Vegas, and I live here now. If there was no football betting, a lot of sports. So the bottom line is, you know, the NFL has to address this, and it's all you know, I talked about the FanDuels and the DraftKings. It's all about what state of Nevada and New York. It's all about leverage. It's all about the politicians and the states getting a piece of that pie because they saw how much money is being gambled every day. They said, wait a minute, this is gambling. I agree, it is gambling. I don't care what FanDuel and DraftKings says. It's not a skill contest. It's gambling. When people are putting money in, when you're betting on, when you're putting money in to a system to win money back, that's how you do this. It's called gambling. So they will come to solutions on this whole thing. I just wish the NFL, you're right, I wish the NFL had a better way in their media department of actually getting out there to the public and saying, you know what, making statements like we recognize this is part of our game. We don't have to publicize it, but we recognize that gambling, these sites, concussions, street cred, they're part of our game, and we'll address this in a proper way, but we know it's there, and they don't do that, and that aggravates me.
All right, it's funny. I remember during the CNBC GOP debates, and the CNBC was criticized for asking about fantasy sports. And actually, I defended CNBC because there are certainly billions of dollars at stake, and they're a business channel, so I don't have a problem with that. I think a lot of the politicians were kind of getting off because they wanted to get off on other issues, or they didn't understand what fantasy sports was. But there are a lot of social issues involved in this that I do think government or the people need to get involved in. And as you talked about, underage gambling, and that this is a problem because you've seen it on college campuses. Just talk about that real briefly.
Well, it's huge. It's huge on college campuses. And I've seen, you know, my son Matt, even when I went to the University of Texas, I saw guys having to leave school because they gambled. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's in the early 80s, late 70s. And my son Max had a couple of friends that gambled. And gambling is one of the biggest addictions there is. And we know about alcoholism and people are addicted to cigarettes and tobacco and what have you. But gambling is huge. I know Las Vegas doesn't want to hear this, but it's what this city and the state is built on. And you're seeing young kids get involved. And unfortunately, there's nothing out there to stop it because you're never going to see – I've always said this. When I was a kid, I've had conversations off the record. I said, why do people smoke cigarettes? I don't want to offend anyone who smokes cigarettes. If you do, it's great. But why would you do something that smells, that you know eventually can cause you lung cancer, makes your teeth green, and there's no redeeming qualities to it? And then I figured out that humans, then this is going to piss people off, but this is why, you know, we're informed and not inflamed, and we have to say people are weak. And addiction gets to the weakness of you, whether you drink or you smoke or you gamble. And unfortunately, gambling is the one. I've seen gambling ruin so many families. If you smoke or you drink, yeah, drinking, you can go out in a car and hurt somebody, but smoking, you're really hurting yourself a lot. You're hurting your liver, you're hurting your body, you're hurting yourself and what have you. But when you gamble and you lose money, you're hurting so many people around you. And it's really big on college. This FanDuel and DraftKings are huge on college campuses. There are parties in fraternities about what you bet, because you could bet small amounts, and it's, you know, it's never going to change. We talked about democracy and capitalism earlier. It's part of what we do. It's part of our mantra as Americans, yeah. And it concerns me. I'm not here to fight the battle. I'm just saying it's out there, and I think that what's lost in this whole thing is DraftKings and FanDuel have given kids another avenue. I mean, I guarantee you there are bookies around the United States that are losing money because kids are now going to these sites and not going to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the problem.
Okay.
Well, one that we talk about. That's a problem in Las Vegas, John. Is the reason why Vegas and Reno and other gambling parts of this state are pissed off is because people aren't going to the casinos and gambling under machines and playing table games. They're on FanDuel and DraftKings,
yeah.
Not the sports booking. The sports book, beginning of season, the sports books are down 28%. They're asking why. I'll tell you why. They're on their phone and their computers playing FanDuel and DraftKings. Enough said.
All right. Let's add to the delinquency of our listeners. by going to your picks. So give me the fantasy pick. And again, this is for the daily fantasy. Who are you picking on QB this week?
Well, I'm gonna pick guys that are on teams that basically have something to play for. Okay. Mm-hmm. My pick for quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger. He's on fire. Nice. I mean, this guy is he's something that he. If you can't put him in the name of elite quarterbacks in the future, that's nuts. I'm tired of hearing Breeze, Manning, Brady, and you know Manning and Rodgers. This guy's up there.
I agree. Okay, running back.
This is a tough one for me. This is not really a game of anything, but you cannot but love Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's going to score you touchdowns. I'm about the yards. He'll get you touchdowns. And I think Latavius Murray of the Raiders. No, the game is not it's meaningful because it's Charles Woodson's last game, but I like Latavius Murray in this game.
Okay. Wide receiver.
Antonio Brown had 189 yards against Chris Harris and Aqib Talib. Right now, the Tyrann Mathieu is out, the best secondary in the league. I like Antonio Brown.
Tight end.
Wow.
This is tough.
It's a tough one. A lot of injuries. Crocker Gilmore's out. Tyler Eifert's out. All your big names are out. I'm looking right now. I'm looking, and I hate to say this, Antonio Gates of San Diego. He always has a big game against the Raiders.
Yeah, we said that last week too. Defense.
Seattle Seahawks. They're on fire right now. They're on a pace that is even better than last season.
Okay, kicker.
I'm gonna go with Dan Bailey. I always go with Gostkowski. I'm gonna go with Dan Bailey of the Dallas Cowboys. I think against the Bills this week, they're gonna get in the red zone a lot, but they don't score a lot in the red zone. So I think they're gonna get to. And of course, Gostkowski is always a good backup.
Yeah. Well, there's a good chance Patriots could get in the red zone and not score a lot either with the Jets defense. Okay. Is there even a last man standing contest even still going on in the country?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I'm serious.
Yeah. So if you had to pick a last man standing, if there is one out there, and of course our viewers are all over the place, so they may have one. Who do you pick?
Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. I think that they're just finding ways to win. Look at their defensive touchdowns. They've had a defensive score the last 4 weeks, and they're just picking them. They have six picks in the line. They're just finding. And this is about Justin Houston, one of the top defensive linemen in the league, has been injured with a hyperextended knee. I'm sorry about your wife, Terry. I know they're playing the Browns, but I'll take Kansas City.
Okay. All right, let's wrap things up here. What are you going to hone in on this weekend while you're sitting there in your man cave?
Saturday night. That's it.
Yep.
Washington Redskins and Philadelphia Eagles. I love the fact when you can knock it to the big guy. If the Redskins win, I love that. I want to see Madison Avenue and Park Avenue just go crazy with marketing and trying to figure out Week 17 in the NFC. And then in the AFC, I'm looking at the three games that mean something: Jets, New England, Kansas City, and the Browns and the Steelers and the Ravens. Because you have a nice heated race right now for that last wild card spot. And you know, do you think the NFL, John, you know, they flexed this game out 2 weeks ago. Don't you wish they would have flexed out the Jets in New England over the Giants in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, especially with O'Bell, we'll know later. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that raises the question, what if it happens? What do we talk about next week?
A lot. We talk about playoff scenarios. We talk about injuries. We talk about the best cheerleaders in the league. We talk about the hooker convention you're going to go to in Reno next week. It's a lot of things we could talk about. We could tie it up to gambling. You know?
Wow, I didn't realize I was doing that. Wow, that's good. I'll have to do a live report.
Right.
Hey,
talk to your agent.
What about the movie Concussion? Is that coming out? Will that be out?
That's coming out Christmas. That's coming out Christmas Day, and it's a real bad look at the NFL, and it's a true story. But the lawyer that took on the NFL, and it's supposedly a terrific film. And they use the real players in this. We know that Luke Wilson plays Roger Goodell, and they talk about Mike Webster and Dan Strosky, two guys that Mike Webster committed to. I guess the film opens up. I won't ruin it, but the film opens up with the player, you know, looking for his teeth, and you'll recognize who the player is because he was a big time player with the Steelers, and it talks about guys living in their cars. But what it doesn't do, and this is what's going to get critical of, it never takes the side of the NFL saying that guys know going in, they never show a standard contract from 1980 saying concussions are part of this game. You know when you enter this league that injury is a big problem. The problem the NFL has, real quick, is the NFL never addressed the fact that there were concussions. They addressed it, but they never really did anything to help players after they got out until this guy brought this to everyone's attention, and now the league has a great policy about it. But, you know, look, concussions are going to happen. Guys are getting bigger. And they, other than the Case Keenum incident this year, the league has done a great job of concussion protocol. I mean, if a fly lands on your helmet, they're going to take you out and ask you to count 1 to 10, you know?
All right. Well, hopefully we'll both watch it and we'll both review it next week, even if there aren't any good games.
I heard when you got a kid, I heard when you played ball, you were in a flag football league in your 30s, that when you possibly got a concussion, your protocol was, John, count 1 to 10 how many girls you dated with teeth before your wife. And you said 0. They said, okay, no concussion.
On that note, we'll close it off. We've been talking with our expert, Eric Snyder, author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He is also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Vegas. Boychik, thanks. Have a good Christmas, buddy.
You too. Thank you, John.
All right. You can follow all my coverage on Twitter and Facebook on John Daly Sports. Folks, thanks for following and tuning in. Merry Christmas to everybody. We will catch you next week.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.